Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
I was a soldier, then a veteran, a husband, and a father. And with my VA home loan, I'm a homeowner. No down payment required and no PMI. Build your future with the VA home loan. Get what you earn. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for this hyper amount of benefits mentioned here.
Today, I'm going to be posing a question. Have memes gone too far? And I've been entertaining this question for quite some time, actually. And finally, I've been given the motivation to do this. I've been considering whether some memes have helped accelerate the erosion of the fabric of Western civilization by irreverently undermining sources of meaning. And before answering this question, I think it's probably worthwhile explaining why I'm even posing it in the first place. And that is, of course, this article. Oxford Word of the Year 2022 revealed as Goblin Mode.
I've already explained my feelings on this.
You have, yes.
I'm not happy about it.
First and foremost,
it's not word
of the year. It's two words, which is just silly. But when you actually hear the words that it was up against, I actually feel like this is probably the one I would still vote for, given the choice.
If someone were to unironically use the word goblin mode in front of me, I'd take it as some kind of spiritual assault. If they were using it like in the context that, because I was going to say seriously, you can't use the term goblin mode seriously, but if they were using it in the context which people do, it would be the same as punching me in the face, and I would be as offended and as annoyed.
Goblin mode. But yes, I'm going to read a little bit from the article just so you know roughly what's going on here. But there is a very serious point here, and it reads as follows. The first Oxford Word of the Year to be chosen by public vote has been announced, which is significant.
Oh, there it is. The same as Boaty McBoatface, then. That's what.
You're
that's
stealing
the situation.
My thunder. I am going to mention that. The winning word, goblin mode, is a slang term describing unapologetic, self-indulgent, lazy, slovenly, or greedy behaviour. It was one of the three potential choices selected by Oxford lexicographers. Thousands managed to drag themselves out of goblin mode to vote as the phrase won by a landslide with over 300,000 votes, making up 93% of the vote total.
This is why we don't trust democracy. Democracy does not give the best results.
This is the thing that finally breaks you, is this.
I already was on the, you know, I wasn't huge on democracy to begin with, but no, this.
This is the straw that broke the camel's back.
It's just annoying. It's just really annoying.
It is, yeah. So what does Goblin Mode mean exactly? According to Oxford University Press, which publishes the Oxford English Dictionary, it is a slang term often used in the expression such as I am in goblin mode or to go goblin mode. It went to explain it as a type of behaviour which is unapologetically self-indulgent, lazy, slovenly or greedy, typically in a way that rejects social norms or expectations.
Joke's on you. Everybody is that nowadays.
Yes.
So those are the social norms and expectations. If you're if you're below a certain age, I expect you to be a lazy, greedy, self-righteous POS. So this is just the normal operating for most
You've
people
embraced
nowadays.
Old manhood now. All the youth today are terrible.
Yep.
It carries on to say, the term started appearing online in 2009, but went viral earlier this year over a fictitious headline scandal involving the actress and model Julia Fox, as well as a popular Reddit post describing someone who has been acting like a goblin. It's funny they don't mention the Reddit post more specifically, because it has an inherently not PG content. Basically, a gentleman is saying to his significant other to go goblin mode on him, and it results in her locking herself in the bathroom saying, yeah, I think you're weird.
I think that's the appropriate response from a woman. And if Julia Fox is involved, I mean, she is not too much of a catch, so...
So, yes, they do kind of get the definition wrong from the sort of memetic standpoint. If you go to the...
Let's not pretend like memes have any defined meaning at any time. They're basically just random, funny-sounding catchphrases that you can throw out in any context.
Nevertheless, here is the mecca of meme culture. Know your meme. And it,
that's
it
right,
explains...
we're scholars.
We are.
Meme scholars.
We are the high meme scholars. I'm sorry. So it says here, goblin mode is a slang term initially used to describe a person or animal acting feral, which is actually how I knew the definition, not the weird BBC one where they shoehorn in laziness and all that stuff. It's just being feral and being unruly.
Lots of people use the term in all sorts of...
I've never seen you so demoralised before. This will cheer you up. If we move on to the next one, I'm going to show you something positive. Here's a page.
I think I do follow this page, to be fair.
If you're just listening, it's titled Animals Going Goblin Mode, where it is just animals doing silly things. This is the right way to
do this. I was
going to
say, I appreciate this use because it's animals. Mm-hmm. Who cares if you refer to them in silly ways?
Mm-hmm. So if we move on to the next one, here's just a quick example. And where is it? There we go.
That is quite sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Also, what on earth is that thing doing?
I thought I'd just throw that in.
Like, my parents have cats, and if I go and see them, I can just put my hand above them, and they'll do that cute thing when they stand on their hind legs because they want a little head scratch or something. But they won't leap to the sky.
So yes, for once, we're not going to completely depress you. I'm going to show you cat videos, so you're welcome.
We're doing what YouTube was always originally intended for.
So moving on to this Guardian article here, they were reporting on this at the start of the month, and they, of course, lent into the lazy aspect of it and saying that
average
it speaks of
Gen Z woman right here.
Mm-hmm. Average Guardian reader, maybe.
Self-portrait from the author.
But yes, their title is actually quite accurate, but not in the way in which they... present it. They say goblin mode, new Oxford word of the year, speaks of to the times, but they're saying, well, people have come out of the pandemic, they don't care about presenting themselves properly anymore. I think it speaks of the times because it's treating things with such irreverence and a lack of seriousness just because you can, rather than looking for actual meaningful things. And this is a running trend, and I think people ultimately just don't have a respect for tradition, history. Speaking of which, Bo, on the website, in his Epoch series, did a episode about Doc Holliday, the Wild West gunslinger. So I'd very much recommend checking that out, because, of course, everyone likes learning about the Wild West.
It is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, moving on.
This was a man who was not necessarily lazy or self-obsessed. He just got it done, you know?
So, moving on to something else that I saw that was annoying. This is the Ukrainian Ministry of Defense sharing a soldier doing what is known as the morning Pikachu dance in the winter.
This has to be a psyop of some form, because it's a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the thing with stuff like this is, because I've seen plenty of psyops where they've gone, join the army, look at these attractive women you'll be able to spend all your time with. No, that's not how it works. You go to the army, you get drills, and then you go and you possibly die in battle.
Mm-hmm.
You don't just dance around in the snow like this. And if they do have time to dance around in the snow like this, well, I guess the conflict must be de-escalating, right? That must be what's happening. Because if you've got time to do stupid BS like this...
Mm-hmm.
I'll stop.
But yes, this is the Ukrainian forces, the official sources here. This isn't Russian propaganda. This is their own government Twitter.
That's a good point. This is the sort of thing that Russia would be sharing with its own people to propagandize. Look at how stupid the Ukrainians are.
So yes, this, if you're wondering, well, what relevance does this have? If we move on to the mecca of memes, Know Your Meme, this is, of course, the Detective Pikachu dance, which is from the 2019 film Detective Pikachu.
I
can't say
this?
I've seen this.
I was going to say, I've not watched
I'm
that.
I'm a bit too old for this, but yeah. I did some research on the internet, and the kids that understand it told me.
Adults are being encouraged to act more like children. Children are being encouraged to certainly embrace certain behaviours that should be only for adults. So it's not that surprising. We live in the topsy-turvy world. We live in the post-ironic world, which is a world adapted purely for Sam Hyde, and he is the only man who can succeed in the post-ironic world. We are living in his shadow. He is the main character.
But it's symptomatic of the nihilism of our time that the word of the year is something that's voted in as a joke. People in actual war zones are doing meme dances, whereas you go back, say, to the Victorian era, the 19th century, people saw warfare as a means of accumulating virtue in some ways. In that
it's an honourable thing to do.
Exactly. And it kind of defaces warfare. And I know that that's a little bit of a grandiose statement in that, you know, they are fighting for their country. But you don't have to go about it in such a way that demeans the very act of doing it in the first place.
No, it's not like people in World War One were moonwalking over the top. You know, they weren't doing silly dances in no man's land.
I've not seen any footage from World War One where they're flossing.
Yeah, I mean, Jesus Christ! Look, right. You think and you look back on these things because the footage that we do have of that is a time capsule. It allows you to feel proud about the sacrifice that those men made because they were seeing it with a dignity. They were also, you know, trying their best to stay sane and have fun. There's the classic, you know, armistice football, etc. But that's a lot more dignified than if you looked back and found that they were all shouting meme catchphrases at one another and doing stupid dances like the floss you said. If I look back, I'd be like, God, great granddad, what are you doing? What are you doing, man?
Exactly. So if you're not on board with me yet, I'm very sorry for this next example, but this is the one that hits out of the ballpark.
I've seen the notes, American... I know what you're about to force me to watch.
I know. So yes, of course, this is an individual known as Daniel Brigoli. I know. Also goes by the name Bad Baby, but with H's in. So yes, in December of 2016, she went on Dr. Phil for a segment titled "I Want to Give Up My Car-Stealing, Knife-Wielding, Twerking 13-Year-Old Daughter Who Tried to Frame Me for a Crime."
See, back in the day, you would just send a child like that to some kind of asylum, and that would sort them out.
So if you didn't encounter this so-called meme, here it is. I'm sorry.
And all these hoes laughing like so funny.
She's talking about the audience that they're laughing at her.
Did you say the hoes are laughing?
Yep.
So the audience are a bunch of hoes?
Yep.
What are you applauding
Catch
for?
Catch me outside. How about that?
Huh?
Catch me outside. How about that?
Catch you outside? What does that mean?
This audience should
what
be throwing
said.
Rotten tomatoes
Catch her outside
at this girl.
She'll go outside and do what she has to do.
I mean, I'm sorry. You've got a problem, daughter. You think to yourself, how can I sort this problem out, right? Okay, she's desperate for attention. She misbehaves constantly. I know. I'll make her a viral television sensation.
Something tells me that some incorrect parenting decisions led to her being there in the first place, right? You don't get a daughter like that at 13 years old behaving in that way unless you're doing something very, very wrong.
If that girl had been in the mines, this would not have happened. We would be in a much better place right now if children, instead of taking over the internet with stupid post-ironic irreverent humour, were doing something useful like digging for coal.
Yeah, Minecraft only shows that the children yearn for the mines. So yes, apparently during the filming of this episode, she stole one of the crew members' cars. So yes, this is a 13-year-old.
How stupid is your crew member to be tricked by a 13-year-old girl?
Also, you may have noticed the manner in which she's speaking.
I mean, she sounds retarded.
Yes. Seems somewhat like Ebonics, doesn't it? However, her father was an Ashkenazi Jew who left Pretty much when she was very young, and her mother is Italian. So this is clearly a completely put-on accent.
She's very clearly not from the sort of background where you would develop natural Ebonics. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, she might be from a broken home, but everything about her is pretty much abhorrent, right? Her criminality, her affected accent, her attempting to appear like an adult, like she's trying to make herself look older than she really is. Oh. She's not being a normal 13-year-old.
Once again, I think to add on to that, the very idea that Dr. Phil platformed this in the first place, I know mm-hmm. he is one of those kinds of shows that, like Jeremy Kyle, just fuels itself off of drama, but realistically speaking, this isn't helping mm-hmm. anybody. Did he even end up sending her to the ranch?
I don't know. But yeah, it very much speaks of a broken society where this person can exist in this way, doesn't it? But the clip became shared widely. It became a bit of a meme for a while, and then this led to her receiving a music contract, and by March 2017, her personal worth was $200,000, and she was still 13. So yes, her LARPing is some sort of ghetto rat, musical ghetto rat at that, still continues to this day. She still has a career. And even worse than that, I've pulled this from Wikipedia because I knew it would be safe for my poor eyes. It says, on April 1st, 2021, 6 days after her 18th birthday, Bregoli opened an OnlyFans account, earning over $1 million in revenue in the first 6 hours, including over $757,000 from subscriptions and $267,000 from message payments and $5,000 in tips.
I mean, okay, right, that is absolutely disgusting, because think about what that means. Obviously, not just that she, as a young girl, thought, oh, this, I know, I want to be a whore now. That's my career. You know, I already succeeded. I'm already rich because of a terrible music career that, you know, I personally, as Harry, had never heard of before. So thank you very much for illuminating me on that one.
I'm sorry.
And, you know, everyone in the audience can thank Josh for this excellent
You're
work.
Welcome.
But then also the fact that there were enough people simping over this girl who was mainly known for a meme appearance when she was 13 years old, that they see that, oh, she's going to be posting nudes online. Sweet, brilliant. I've been waiting for this. Absolute sick degenerates.
It's the fact that it was only a few days after her 18th birthday, and then immediately there's money pouring in.
Yeah, there is something weird. I forget, what was it, the Olsen twins, where back in the day people were like counting down to their 18th birthday?
Oh, that's happened with a few people.
So
it's
they could feel
gross.
Better about whacking off over them. It's disgusting.
But yes, you can see that the meme gave her the opportunity of doing this in the first place and making all of this money at the expense of her dignity, if she had any left in the first place. But it shows that memes have real world consequences and that it affects the society in which we live in. This sets a terrible example for young people that if you have an atrocious attitude, you're bad enough individual, then you can go on the TV and make lots of money being obnoxious and mm-hmm. unpleasant and being a bad person is somehow rewarded by society.
What's the point in having dignity or being a serious individual if society around you does not reward that? We always talk about how people mm-hmm. respond to incentives, right?
Yeah.
The incentives that are being set up in our current society are completely perverse.
Mm-hmm. So one final example is that of what you mentioned earlier, is the research ship that was voted... the name Boaty McBoatface.
They've kept the name after all these years.
Well, in the end, they named one of the submarines that are carried on the boat Boaty McBoatface, and it's
okay.
called the Sir David Attenborough.
Okay.
Which, yes, is an Antarctic exploration ship. So this is something that is that should be lauded, because this isn't exactly an easy thing. This is a testament to the development of our civilization, and Arctic explorers and Arctic researchers used to be heralded as brave people. You know, you've got lots and lots of, or Antarctic even, they're household names in some cases, aren't they? So the lack of respect here, Boaty McBoatface, I mean, it's deliberately trying to be as lazy as possible.
Yeah, I mean, there was one funny thing that came of this, which is in crew, the town that I'm from, mm-hmm. there was a shop that just decided to call itself Shoppy McShopface down the high street. It's shut in like a month or two.
I wonder why the novelty wore off.
But for some reason, there wasn't just the sign, there was also one of those extra little signs that pops out of the wall. That's still there, and it's been like 6 years. No one's taken it down, so there's just the memory haunts the high street.
But yes, compare Boaty McBoatface to the names of the ships on the Franklin expedition, which was an attempt to find the Northwest Passage between Britain and Asia through northern Canada. And this was in the 19th century, so they had wooden-hulled ships with sails.
I'm aware of this mainly because there was an HBO kind of... no, it wasn't HBO, it was like Showtime or something... horror series based off of...
I think it was the BBC, wasn't it?
Well, it had a lot of British actors in it, mm-hmm. and it was called The Terror, that was based around it, this, whereas they go to the Arctic and, you know, ooh, there's yetis and stuff out there that's trying to attack mm-hmm. them. I only got six episodes
but it was
really good.
It was really good,
I need to finish it off.
There's some great acting in there as well.
Yeah, yeah.
But yes, on this expedition, there were two ships. There was the HMS Terror, which saw service in the War of 1812 and was involved in the burning of Washington. So it's a fitting name. It's laden with history.
Proud, proud ship.
Yes, and, you know, they're taking it seriously. I mean, the Boaty McBoatface could probably drive into the Terror and squash it, but it's still got this majesty that our new names for things doesn't have. So there is also the HMS Erebus, which gets its name from one of the Greek primordial deities who was the personification of darkness and shadow, the brother-husband of Nyx and the son of Chaos. Look at that.
Old Greek brother-husbands, eh?
Yes. But look at the rich history and the meaning behind the name. It calls back to your heritage in the roots of Western civilization, classical Greece, really. Mm-hmm. And then it embodies this darkness and shadow, which, of course, going up that way, you're going to face months of darkness and shadow. And if you yourself are going there in this boat, doing this incredibly difficult thing in a boat that reflects the nature of the environment which you're going in, it's going to become psychologically easier to tolerate because you're just like, yes, we are the crew of the Erebus. We are darkness and shadow. We can overcome this.
Imagine you're stuck for months and months in the Arctic as the crew of Boaty McBoatface. I just think after enough time, just hearing it out loud would drive you insane to the point of mutiny.
Yeah.
It would be actually demoralizing to know that mm-hmm. I'm on a joke ship. I'm doing this and I will be remembered as a crew member of the joke ship name.
Yes, so hopefully all of you at home know where I'm coming from when I'm complaining about these silly, irreverent things that don't take things very seriously, because when you divorce everything from meaning and make fun of everything, then you're going to become nihilistic because there is no meaning in your life. There has to be things that we hold up as sacred, and things like exploration vessels, research vessels, I mean, that go out into the Antarctic that are dangerous. That should be something that's exciting, that should be seen as prestigious, that our society should hold up as virtuous, and therefore the name should reflect it. And it's a similar thing with words. There are plenty of words that hold lots of meaning, that have cultural significance. I don't think goblin mode is going to be something that
we
in
100 years
time, they're just like, oh wow, that was voted word of the year. I use that every day.
That was the peak of Western civilization. No, mm-hmm. no. Yeah, no, I, and this isn't to say that memes are bad or anything. You know, we enjoy memes. Often they're very funny. The problem is that there's no line drawn in the sand anymore mm-hmm. about where, okay, now it's time to get serious. We need to have these parts of life that are still held in a type of sanctity mm-hmm. so that we can take them seriously at all or have anything to look proudly back on.
Yeah, because by making fun of everything, it undermines things like tradition and history and meaning, which are things that we as a conservative organisation very much support at Lotus Eaters. And it's a shame to see that people are so happy to go along with this sort of thing. Once the sort of humour wears off of it, though, I think that if you really examined how these things make you feel, it's far more empty than the ones rich with meaning. If you think about, if you compare HMS Erebus, which is calling forth mythology and shadow over Boaty McBoatface, well, I know which one I would rather be a crew member of. Although, to be fair, everyone did die on the HMS Erebus, but still.
They still were able to die with a little bit more dignity than if it had been called Boaty McBoatface.
Mm-hmm. In fact, one
of my other complaints about this is that a lot of these memes that get popular are the really stupid leftist style memes where it's like, let's just be as childish as possible. They're not even funny memes, like more maybe edgy right-wing memes. Like if instead of Boaty McBoatface, it was called the 41%, maybe that would be a bit funnier.
I don't know. That's still pretty bad. I'm laughing though, aren't I? But yes, just a random tidbit of information. One of my distant relatives was on the HMS Erebus. Not that I'm biased, but it was Lieutenant James Fairholm, who was obviously one of the crew members on the ship, and he was likely cannibalised by his crewmates. So there we go.
Oh.
When they ran out of food. So, random historic fact for you, but I thought it'd be interesting.
In the office, when all the power goes out and we start to run out of food, we know who's going first.
I've got a little bit of... I've got a little bit extra to go around here. So yes, obviously memes like this bring irreverent nihilism, and I am, of course, in favour of thumbing your nose at authority. That's good, in my opinion. But I implore people to take things a bit more seriously. So I think the left understands the power that names and words hold a little bit more than the right does sometimes. So, for example, if we move on to this by Sadiq Khan here. Sadiq Khan launches £25,000 grant to change street names in London. He understands that the names in which we call our streets hold meaning.
I would pay £25,000 to launch Sadiq Khan into the channel.
I'd pay a lot more than that. But yes, people like leftists understand that these things hold meaning, and to undermine them when we aren't defending them is a good way of them scoring a victory in a political sense.
Well, like we just mentioned, if you're like changing street names, if you're living on a particular street, in the wake of the George Floyd protest, of course, imagine you go from living on, say, imagine they change Baker Street, the classic location of Sherlock Holmes. I know they wouldn't, because they wouldn't want to touch that because it is so historic. Or at least they wouldn't want to touch that right now. Who knows? Maybe they want to lay the groundwork in the future. But imagine it goes from Baker Street to George Floyd Street. And then if you're actually living there, you have to be reminded every single time you even tell a taxi driver where you're going to, you tell a friend where you live, every time that you input your address into something online, if you're ordering something, you know, it's just this constant reminder, and that does have an effect. It batters it into you, whether you realize it or not.
So if we move on to the next one, Sadiq Khan has also launched a landmark commission as well. So this is obviously reviewing landmarks and seeking to rename them. So statues, street names, building names and memorials, basically just iconoclasm. And then if you move on to the next one...
I think something like this should be taken as treason, and he should be ousted immediately.
We move on to an article by The Scotsman. Leading historian speaks out as National Library of Scotland rewrites harmful colonial language. So yes, they're just removing historic language pretty much. I mean, not that you can just view it with a certain amount of maturity and say it's a product of its time if you find it upsetting. No, we've got to change it.
We've got to rewrite history.
You go to Canada. This is London in Canada, by the way, not London, England. Two more London public schools to be renamed because of links to historical racism and anti-Semitism. And they're named after Sir John A. Macdonald and F.D. Roosevelt.
Wait, they're changing the name of one named after FDR?
Yes.
But he laid the groundwork for a lot of the progressive reforms that are ruining us nowadays. But then again, historical illiteracy knows no bounds.
To be fair, I don't like Roosevelt, therefore I'm glad that they're renaming his. I don't really know who Sir John A. Macdonald is, but
I'm sure he did some great deeds. I'm sure he also did some things that were of his time and
almost
should
like
be taken as such.
Almost like he's a human being.
I know.
Like that everyone's not perfect, particularly judged by standards outside of their own time. So yes, there's another one here is Germany. A campaign is celebrate changing of colonial street names in Berlin. And then back to Scotland again for the final one. Topple the racist campaign seeks removal of 12 Scottish statues. So they understand that these things hold meaning, they hold weight, and are trying to undermine them. It's somewhat comparable to that of the way in which memes are undermining things which we took as staples of wells of meaning, I suppose. That's not a very good way of putting it. But undermining things that held significance to us as a culture, I think, is the best way of putting it. And although I'm supportive of humour, obviously, I indulge myself quite a lot, I think that there should be a line where we actually have a certain amount of respect for the culture that we're talking about. And I think that when it comes to things that are historic, that are traditions that should be respected, then we should treat them with a bit more seriousness, because otherwise we're just going to be lost in a nihilistic mess of a society that values nothing, that has no meaning, and feels like they're completely divorced from the main culture. They're just an atomized individual to be controlled by people like the World Economic Forum. Is that really the world you want to live in?
Thanks for watching that segment from the podcast Lotus Eaters, and I hope you're all having a very Merry Christmas so far. If you'd like to find more, you can subscribe over at our website, lotuseaters.com, for £5 a month to gain access to all of our wonderful premium content, including this recent article that I wrote on individualism and collectivism and how it's a false dichotomy between the two. If you'd like to learn more about what I'm doing on a day-to-day basis, you can follow me over at Getter at Harry Lotus Eater. Thanks for watching. We'll see you again soon.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Switching between different tools to finish a project can feel stressful and disjointed, especially while juggling tight deadlines in a fast-paced work environment. Now, there's a better way. Grammarly built a writing surface that's a game changer for professionals. It helps move your ideas forward and sharpen your words for better results, all in one place. With Grammarly's AI agents, you get writing support at every step to bring polish and impact to your emails, reports, and proposals without the tab overload. Email sounds robotic, phrasing feels off, writing for a high-stakes client. Grammarly's got you covered. You can even ask Grammarly's AI chat to help brainstorm brilliant proposals, summarize meeting notes in seconds, or even shape a winning sales strategy, all right from your doc. 93% of professionals say that Grammarly helps them get more done. And now, it's your turn. Sign up for free and get stronger results. Faster work, smarter sentences, clearer finishes. Visit Grammarly.com to get started. That's Grammarly.com.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.